Got a lot of messages out of the book of Job. First book ever written. It's interesting. When God writes the first thing He wants to write about, it's about a man in distress. About a man lost everything, pretty much. About a man in trouble. You know why? That's what we go through, amen? We go through it too. That's why most of the songs we sing about, tempted, tried, we're oft made to wonder how it should be thus all the day long. See why we just go through all the stuff. There is no temptation taking you but such is common to man. You say, well, I'm the only one to go through it. No, we all go through it. One way, shape, or another, and Job was one of them. Job chapter 19, verse 1 says this. Job 19, verse 1, and says, Then Job answered and said, How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? Talking about his friends, you know. His wife came out there. She was a real big help, you know. Curse God and die. You know, she is saying, Hey, doth y'all not keep the integrity? She is saying, Why don't you just get away from God, curse God, and then you can die. That was a big help, wasn't it? Yeah. And his friends come along, and they vex him with words, he said, and break me in pieces with words. These 10 times have you reproached me, even not ashamed that you make yourself strange to me, and be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth myself. All they're doing is blasting him, you know. If indeed you will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me. You know, when you get down, people are that way. And verse 6, Know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassion. He knew who was doing it. He knew it was the Lord. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. He hath set darkness my path. He hath stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. Mine hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, hath counted me as one of his enemies. His troops come together and raise up their way against me and encamp about me. You ever felt that way? I have. I mean, just sometimes it just feels like Miss Janet probably feels that way with her car. Sometimes you just feel like I can't get ahead this thing, Lord. And she's just trying to serve God, helping this couple, you know, help this lady go in the hospital and her car blows up. Verse 13, He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. I mean, everybody knows mad at him. My kinfolk have failed. My familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in my house and my maids count me for a stranger. I'm an alien to their sight. Nobody's giving Job any sympathy. Verse 16, I called my servant. He gave me no answer, and I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife. His wife won't have anything to do with him. Though I entreated for the children's sake, he said, I even tried to bring up the children for about it, and she still didn't want nothing to do with me. Yea, young children despise me. I mean, when kids don't like you, that's pretty bad, you know. It's pretty bad when a dog won't come to you, you know, and that's where he's at. Yea, children despise me. I rose, and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and whom I loved are turned against me. Verse 20, he said, My bones cleave to my skin and to my flesh. And here he says, I'm escaped with the skin of my teeth. You know, that's where we're all at today, by the way. We're all going to get by, brother. Let me just say, we're all going to get by. We're all going to escape this deal. Every one of us with the skin of our teeth. That's how we're going to get through it. Nobody here is going to come out king. Amen. Nobody here, when you get through this thing, if you make it through, whatever goes through, whatever survival, I want to tell you, the only way you're going to make it is through the skin of your teeth, brethren. And that phrase, the skin of your teeth, it comes from the fact that on your teeth, there's a skin on top of your teeth. It's called the enamel. You say, how'd Job know that? The guy that wrote the Bible knows all about it. See, the one that wrote this Bible, he made the teeth. In that skin of your teeth, there's enamel on your teeth. And it's a hard enamel, and it's what protects the nerves and all the tissue. Your teeth are alive, by the way. They're not dead. They're alive. You wouldn't get a root canal. You know what I'm talking about. They'll kill that nerve. And what protects all that is there's a very thin skin called the enamel that protects your teeth. And that's what he's talking about. WebMD, I looked it up. It said, the key to a great smile and keeping your pearly whites is a top-notch shape. The best way to do that by really taking good care of your tooth enamel. That's that skin. The enamel is a thin outer covering skin of teeth that protects the delicate tissues inside. And he said, after a while, your enamel wears down as you get older. And it says this, what can you do to get your precious enamel back? Today there are a lot of products and there are a lot of things to help, but the fact is, it said, nothing will bring your enamel back. Once it's gone, it says this, well, once it's eroded, baby, it's gone, baby, is what it says. And you've got that skin, and all of us, listen, every one of us, let's just be honest, I'm going to preach about this and be honest with you, we're all going to escape barely through this life with the skin of our teeth.
Yeah.
We'll go through what Job goes through. You know, there's a very fine line between tragedy and total disaster and success in this life. I mean, it's just a very fine line. And every one of us, if you get through, you can thank God. And when you get through this life and you end the thing, you say, "Woo! I made it by the skin of my teeth, man." And the famous preacher's name was John Bradford. He lived in the 16th century, a famous Baptist preacher. And one time he was there and he was talking to some prisoners and he was trying to talk to them about the Lord, and they were all going up there to be hanged and going up to the executioner's point. And Bradford said his famous line. He said, "There but for the grace of God goes John Bradford." He said, "If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be right up there with those guys." It's a famous saying, there but for the grace of God go I. There but for the grace of God, I'd be down the homeless tonight. There but for the grace of God, I'd be sleeping in a tent somewhere. There but for the grace of God, brother, I'd be in hell today. I'd be in jail today. And I'm here tonight and here this morning preaching to you because I got here by the skin of my teeth, brother. That's how I got through it. And that's how you'll get through it, just like Job. He said all those things have happened. And he said, "I've escaped with the skin of my teeth." And I'm going to tell you, God's been very good to me. Very, very good. Sometimes I think I'm his pet. I mean, really. I got so much better than I ever deserved. I cursed him for years, used his name in vain, mocked him and all. And still he saved me and brought me out of hell, gave me a new life, and then he called me to preach. What a deal is that, man? I deserve a lake of fire in the judgment of God, and God brought me through, and I got here by the skin of my teeth, brother. Because my life could have went a lot different than what it did. And I want to give you a few things about that, the skin of my teeth. I want to say, first of all, this morning, there is very little room for error in this life. There is very little room for error. You are one thought. You are one decision. You are one step. We're just one step away, one decision away, one word away, one thought away from total disaster in your life. One decision, one step can run your life. Every one of us here, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how right you are with God. I don't care what's going on in your life. I want to tell you right now, you're one step away if you're not careful from total disaster in your life. Take your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 4, get Psalms chapter 39. There's very little room for error in this life. We used to go down to Jimmy Hill Mission, went there for 30 years. And my kids would go. When we first started going, we put our kids, they were so little, they were in a car thing, and we put them on a piano while my wife played the piano. And they grew up there. We went there till they went to college. We were going there and I started pastoring this church. Over 30 years we went to that place. And my kids grew up there. They learned to sing there. They learned to quote scripture. My son learned how to lead a song service, lead man the Lord. And I used to tell my kids it was a teaching lesson, see. A lot of people don't see what my kids got to see. They learned some things. And I used to tell my kids all the time, I'd say, "Kids, even when they were little, these people didn't grow up this way. Some of them had good Christian homes like you did. Some of them had it made. Some of them had big dreams. But something in their life, there was one decision they made that took them off. And it always starts with one decision. There was one decision that put them out of the race. There's very little room for error in this life. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. When we get through this thing, brethren, we'll get through by the skin of our teeth. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says this: Be careful for nothing. For what? Nothing. You say, "What about Janice Carr?" Pray about it. You say, "What about this?" Pray about it. You say, "What about this?" Pray about it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You say, why? Because there's very little room for error in this life. One decision, one wrong step, one wrong move, and brother, your whole life shut down the road just like that. There's an old saying. It says, "Life is fragile. Handle with care." You've heard that? I say life is fragile. Handle with prayer. Say, what are you saying? I'm telling you, there's very little room for error. Many times, and most of the time, it's always the small decisions that'll get you in trouble. It's the subtle ones you never think would. They're the ones that get you in trouble and lead to a bigger decision along the way. And there's very little room for error in this life. Ben Franklin said this, a famous saying, which is pretty good. For the want of a nail, the horseshoe was lost. Couldn't find a nail, so they couldn't put the shoe on the horse. For the want of a shoe, the horse was lost. Couldn't ride the horse. For the want of a horse, the rider was lost. For the want of a rider, the battle was lost. For the want of a battle, the kingdom was lost. All for the want of a little horseshoe nail. You see, a lot of times something as small as a horseshoe nail, some little decision in your life, you know what? It can get you off track and it can ruin your life that easy, that quick. Look at Psalms chapter 39. It's frightening, really, brethren. It's scary and frightening just how fragile and weak we are, really. I mean, let's be honest. Jesus said one time the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He knew about it. He walked in his flesh. It's so frightening how easy it is to knock you and I out of the race. One decision, one step, one move, one thought will do it. Look at Psalms chapter 39, verse 4. Psalm 39, verse 4 is David. This is a great prayer. I preached about this before. Psalm 39, verse 4. Make sure I got the right one. Here it is. Psalm 39, 4. Lord, make me to know mine end. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. That's a great prayer, man. That's a great prayer. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You know what? You and I, one of the prayers we ought to be praying like David prayed, Lord, help me to know just how frail I am. You know why? So we can depend on God everything that we do, because there's very little room for error in this thing called life. And when we get through it, if we make it through it, and we survive through it, and halfway right with God, when we get through, we can say, well, I made it with the skin of my teeth. I barely got through this thing. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Brother, we're in a battle. We're in a war. It's a fight. It's a fight to stay right, everything about it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I preached about this a while back, quite a while back. In fact, I preached on it in March the 10th, 2013. That's over 5 years ago. Hard to believe that. Seemed like it was yesterday. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says this, For we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. This is a battle we're in. We're in a fight. We're in a war. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Watch verse 5. Casting down imaginations. That's what goes on in your head. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Watch this. And bringing into captivity every thought. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. I preached a message on that back then, March the 10th, 2013. I preached a message, every thought. And I said, every great invention you've ever heard in your life, from Thomas Edison, the light invention, to the computer, every one of those inventions started somewhere with one thought. That's where it started. Every great tragedy you've ever heard, Jeffrey Dahmer killing those people and eating and cannibalizing, that man that shot the 58 people, shot over 900, killed 58 and wounded 871 over there in Las Vegas. You know what that started with? One thought somewhere in his mind. That's where it always starts. Bring every thought, the Bible said. It said we war not after the flesh, and it said casting down those imaginations, everything that exalted itself against God, and bring every thought, every thought. There's very little room for error in this life. Every great message John Wesley preached, or Peter Ruckman preached, or Joe Coley preached, or Earl Anker, or anybody you've ever heard, it started with one thought. Every great tragedy, Hitler killing 6 million Jews, what he did started with one thought. There's very little room for error in this world. Sow a thought, and you reap an action. Sow an action, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap a character. Sow a character, and you reap a destiny. There's very little room for error in this life. Very little room. I was there at the homeless there last Tuesday night, and a man asked me to pray for his son. One of the men that work on the staff. His son's name's Sean. I mentioned Thursday night. He's 21 years old. And shot this man there. He's a psychologist or something there on the staff for Change Lives Ministry. And he asked me to come over there and he said, "Pastor, would you pray for me, my son?" I said, "I'd be happy to." He's a guy on the staff, a white man. And I said, "What's going on? Tell me about it." He said, "Well, he's been in jail." And he said he just got out. And he said he was sentenced for 15 years and he served like a year or something. He was telling me, and burglary and stuff, you know, 21 years old, his name's Sean. And he said they arrested him last week. They found him with a loaded weapon, with a gun, and that gun's been involved in some burglaries and some murder and different things. And now he's looking at his life in prison, 21 years old. He said he didn't do any of those things, but the fact that he has that gun, he's accountable for all those crimes. Because he picked that gun up, Ben, that guy will probably never walk outside and see the sun like we did. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you this morning, there is very little room for error in this world. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." At first it says, be sober. That means be clear-minded. Don't let thoughts get in your head. Don't let your head run wild. Be sober. Be vigilant. That means be on your toes. Be protected, because the devil is walking around looking whom he may devour. And I'm going to tell you, there's very little room for error in this life. When you get through it, if you make it, you'll be like Job. I made it with the skin of my teeth. That's how you'll make it. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Get Ephesians 5, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Think about this life. When you make that decision, and you make that wrong decision, and you take that wrong step, whatever it may, it's not like a movie. You can't hit rewind, start over. You're going to live with it. You've heard that saying, "Well, boy, you made your bed, you better sleep in it now." A lot of truth to that. Because there's very little room for error in this life. One decision, one step, one thought, one move, one little thing will take you and run your life that quick. Prison is full of people like that. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, this is a great verse. I'm going to bring it back here in a minute, another point. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says this, "See then you walk circumspectly." So what does that mean? That means looking around. Circle means, it means a circle. Spec means like spectacles, like you're looking. You're looking all around you. You walk looking around at you, watching everything, making sure that everything's okay. It said walk circumspectly. And not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Because you and I, brother, we're in a rough day. It's more worse then than what it is now. And brother, we have to walk circumspectly, because there's lying men everywhere trying to destroy our life. And there's very little room for error. Verse 17 says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." I'm going to tell you, there's very little room for error in this thing. Things will be going great. One decision, one look, one thought, one step, one temper, one fit can destroy a family, can destroy a home, can destroy your life, can destroy everything you built up that quick. You know, Billy Sunday's talking to a man one time. He said, Billy Sunday, "I got a bad temper." He said, "But it only lasts a few seconds." Billy Sunday said, "Yeah, a shotgun blast lasts a few seconds too. It destroys everything in his path." Hey man, there's very little room for error in this world. It don't take a whole lot to mess it up. It's very easy. We used to go to church out there in Pinson. And Trinity Baptist, a good friend of ours, used to pastor it in a little church about like this. This probably 5 times bigger than that church, wouldn't it? I think it was so little. It was little, man. It was fun, though. We had a good time out there. I preached to them a lot. They were good to preach to. They were fun. But Brother Ken, he got up one time. He told about this story, and I've never forgot this. It's been 25 years ago, probably, or 20 years ago. Maybe not that long. But he told about this lady that was in the church. And she taught Sunday school. She led kids to the Lord. She mentioned some of the guys in the church there that she had taught Sunday school when they were kids. They were grown now. And he's talking about this lady. She's 71 years old. And he says she had a daughter that was on dope. Her and her husband. And this grandlady, Miss Gennis, she loved God and was faithful in church. She wanted to help her granddaughter and help try to get them off dope. And he said, right now, she's lost her house, and they're living in her car, and they've got her hooked on dope living in her car. Say, it couldn't happen to me. day, one decision, one step, one move, one thing, brother, your life can go down just like that. Very little room for error in this life. Paul Manafort, looking at the rest of his life in prison. You know that guy? A few weeks ago, he was buying $15,000 ostrich coats. He's looking at 80 years in prison, probably going to spend the rest of his life in prison unless Trump pardons him. He'd go on a shopping spree, I read, and he'd spend Miss Samantha $400,000 for clothes right there. You know where he's at now? He's in the Iron Hotel. One decision, one step, you'd be on top of the world one day, friend. But I'm going to tell you, this world, there's very little room for error when you go through it. I had a counsel, a couple there at the park I told you about a while back, a few months ago. She called me up, the lady, and asked me to come see her and her husband as soon as I could. And turned to find out she had been going out on her husband for 10 years. She'd had an affair with a guy for 10 years. And I sat there and prayed with him and led him to the Lord. He got saved that day. And talked to him, and I asked her, I said, how in the world did this get started, and how in the world did this go on so long? You know, she started this thing. She met this guy. She called him up. He was a computer support guy. She was having problems with a computer where she worked, and called him up, Miss Samantha. Had an innocent conversation, a support call that led to 10 years of adultery. There's very little room for error in this life, folks. A little innocent support call can run your life if you're not careful. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. There's very little room for error in this life. Very little room. David Hatcher come to this church, went out witnessing with us and all that. He's got 5 more years left in prison. Say why? Looking at pornography. I mean, just said he laid out of church. You heard him. He said, I laid out that Sunday night and it bothered me. I was under conviction. And he said, then I got back in and I laid out another time. It didn't hurt as bad. And after a while, he said it didn't hurt as bad. And I got out of church. And the next thing you knew, he just innocently, Miss Rachel, started looking at pornography on his computer. And the FBI knocks on his door. Wife divorces him. The dad dies after that. You say, what happened? There's very little room for error, see. Very little room for error in this life, brethren. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Said, never happened to me. I get letters every day from prisoners telling me the same thing. You say, there's very little room for error in this life. If you make it through, you'll make it through with the skin of your teeth, brethren. Just like me and Job. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Verse 13. Here's what the Lord tells us. He said, Matthew 7:13. He says this, enter you in at the straight gate. That word straight there means narrow and thin. Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in therein, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And I'm going to tell you, brother, this thing is narrow. There's very little room to move when you walk with the Lord. This thing is narrow, and brother, one little step out of the way, one little step out of the path, one little decision, one little move, you know what? It'll take your life. Turn it downhill. There's very little room for error. Very little room. I saw an article a while back when I was at work. Been about 4 or 5 years ago. And I saw where this preacher in Georgia had been arrested for child pornography. And I saw the name, Brother Anthony, and I saw the church, and I said, I know that guy. He'd ordered tracts from us a bunch of times. Got on his website, King James, Brother Ruckman. I mean, rah, rah, rah. Article said he worked for a company. Stayed home that day, Miss Liz, sick. And he had to look on the computer, try to get some, Miss Samantha, get some information. And it's full of child pornography on there. And that guy's looking at 10, 15, 20 years in prison. You say, why? There's very little room for error in this life. One look, one decision, one bad move, brother, and it's downhill. I want to say there's very little room for error. Let me give you the next point real quick. There's very little reason for treason in your life. The word treason, it means betrayal.
It means we think of a betraying a government, but it's a deliberate lack of betrayal of trust. And there's very little reason for treason to your family or to the Lord or to the church or your conscience or the Bible or the Lord. For what reason would you do sell out God for, man? People sell Him out all the time for a little pleasure, a little thrill. Brother, let me tell you, a little thrill a lot of times brings a big bill. A little thrill will come with a big bill that may kill you before you get through. There's a thrill, a bill, and a kill. They got this thing now, this company, I'm sure you've heard of it. It's called Ashley Madison. There's several of them like it. And it's a site for married people to commit adultery. That's what it's about. It's called, the advertisement used to say, it'd say, life is short, have an affair. Millions of people's done it. Millions. Yeah, life's short, have an affair. If your wife finds out, it'll be a whole lot shorter probably. She'll probably kill you, amen. I mean, that Duggard family, you know, some of them got caught of that. And if somebody hacked and dumped all that stuff, hey, you say what? For a little bit of thrill, there's very little reason for the treason to your family and to the Lord. They used to have a show come on TV. I hadn't seen it for a while, but you see it on the news. It was called To Catch a Predator. You ever seen that show? Brian Hansen used to do it. Chris Hansen, whatever his name was. And they put those ads in Craigslist and things. Say, I'm this good-looking teenage girl. You know, come over to the house. We'll party that day. And preachers would go there. Doctors would go there. Police chief would go there. I mean, good people, good men, you think, would go there. You say, for what? For just a little thrill. There's very little reason, friend, for the treason. And they get in there and get caught and they're going, oh man, I'm a preacher. I'm just coming over here trying to help her. Yeah, right, bro. Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, it's amazing what people will sell out for just a little bit of thrill. Give their whole life downhill. Every week on the paper and the news, you'll see a school teacher messing around with one of her students. I mean, this teacher, most of them are married. And they'll go to school all their life, Miss Jenna. And they go to school and get their education, Miss Samantha. And do all that stuff and have it made. And just for a little bit of thrill, they throw their whole lives away. All that work. You see, we're going to get by, number one, by the skin of our teeth. We don't need to be taking chances, brethren. There's very little reason for the treason in this life. It's amazing what people betray their family, betray the Lord, all that kind of stuff, man. I go down there to Jimmy Hale Mission, went there for 30 years. I've had several preachers come up to me in that place. I had one black man, he had a $1,000 suit on, Brother Anthony. Son, he looked sharp, Miss Samantha. Walked up there to me, nice looking black gentleman. He said, man, I can't believe I'm down here. I said, what's happening? He said, I pastor one of the largest black churches in this city. He said, I preach to most of these guys in here. I said, man, what in the world are you doing down here? He said, pornography. Got messing around with pornography. Got called. My church kicked me out. My wife left me. Had another. It's Carmen. He pastored a Baptist church. Carmen Hill guy come here and praying in an altar. He said, I've lost everything, everything, everything. So as a preacher, I say, what happened? He said, I was looking at some pornography. Got called. My wife left me. Church kicked me out. I'm living down here now. Hey, there's very little reason, friend, for the treason, because that thrill is not going to be worth the bill when it comes, and it'll come. You won't get away with it. The pleasure and thrill of a few minutes, you will pay the rest of your life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, said about Moses, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Yeah, there's pleasures of sin for a season, brother. But there's very little reason for the treason the season will give. Because when you get through with it, brother, I'm going to tell you, the bill is not worth it. It's not worth it. I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. Some of you men, you better say amen or come down to the altar when I get through. But I've seen a lot of beautiful women in this world. Come on, man. Amen. If you're not a pervert, you said the same thing. And you know what? God put that in their heart, see? That's for this cause. You know what cause? For this cause, a man will leave his wife, his father and mother, and go cleave his wife. For what cause? Because he's attracted to her. She's beautiful. I want to be with her. the way it was with this lady right here. I seen a lot of beautiful women in the world. Bunches of them. Bunches. But I'm going to tell you, there's not one in the world that I would trade for this one right here. I see some beautiful ones. You say, why not? Because the cost is too high right here, see. Right here, sitting here, to leave that lady and have my little grandchildren say, where's Papa and Nana in?
Amen.
Papa done run off with another lady.
Right.
Ain't no way. Cost is too high. See, there's very little reason for the treason. The Bible says over in the book of Colossians, it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. 2 Corinthians 5. It's not our love for Him, but the love He has for us. And I will tell you, brother, when I see how much Jesus Christ loves me, I'll tell you what, Miss Samantha, constrains me and keeps me straight. Because I don't want to displease Him. I love them little grandkids of mine. Whew! My daughter sent me some videos yesterday, and I sent her back a text. I said, when are you going to be off? I need to go down there and see them boys. My little one, he's saying, Dada. She had a video. He went, Dada, Dada, Dada. I said, I got to go down there. Love them kids, man. They think Papa can do anything. I told you that time Rachel took him to Toys R Us, and he was riding in that car. Big old car, one of those with a battery. And she said, come on, Noah. We're not going to buy you no car. He said, Papa will. You know what? You say you get one. First night I got down there, Miss Jane, I went to Toys R Us and bought him that car and a bicycle, both of them. He looked at that bicycle. I said, you want that one too? He said, yeah. I said, give me that bicycle right there. And we got through. We had a car and a bicycle and two grocery carts full of junk for these kids. They love their papa. He said, what do you want to be for when you grow up? I told you, I hear what he wrote. I want to be a pastor like my papa. As a pastor, I'll teach people about God. I also preach the Bible. Hey, brother, you think I'm going to let those kids down? Listen, brother, there's very little reason for the treason in this life. My daughter was telling me last week, little Emmett, he's 3. And she said it was so cute, Dad, he'd go knock on the door. Here's what he'd do, Miss Samantha. And he'd run in there and say, it's Papa and Nana, it's Papa and Nana, jumping up and down, playing with her. Hey, you think I'm going to have them kids grow up and say, hey, oh, Papa, he's done out of church, away from God. Listen, brother, I wouldn't do nothing to harm those kids. You say, why? There's very little reason for the treason. For just a little thrill, a little turn on, not on your life, friend. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23 says this. It says, be sure your sin will find you out. Take your Bible, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes right after the book of Proverbs. Psalms, Proverbs, right in the middle. Y'all will be able to find that easy. Ecclesiastes, Numbers 32, be sure your sin will find you out. I had a track I hadn't seen in years. I probably ought to print one up. In the cover of it, Miss Liz, it said, the world's greatest detective. And you open it up in big letters, it said, sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. And there's just very little reason, no reason really, for the treason. Bob Jones Sr., that old great Methodist preacher, he used to say this, one of his famous sayings was, do right, do right. Just do right. He said, if the stars fall from heaven, just do right. And there's very little reason for treason. Look at Ecclesiastes 8:11. Chapter 8, verse 11. There's very little room for error in this world. And there's very little reason for treason. The thrill's got a bill, brethren. In Ecclesiastes 8, chapter 8, verse 11, here's why men do what they do. They think they'll get away with it. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil. They think they'll get away with it. I guess every one of these school teachers mess around with these kids, think they'll get away. Hey, let me give you a little cue. All them kids are running around bragging about it. Hadn't you got some sense, girl? I would if I was a kid in school, wouldn't you? Be bragging about it. I mean, they get caught, lose everything they got. You say, why? There's very little reason for the treason. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Brother, when we get through this thing, we're going to be just like Job, every one of us. We're going to say, I've escaped with the skin of my teeth. Boy, I'm glad I didn't get what I deserve, Brother Anthony. Boy, I'm glad God let me off the hook on that deal. Man, oh man, oh man, I'm glad God gave me a break. Because I just got by on the skin of my teeth. I barely made it. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. You know what this life is down here? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a fight. It's a fight. It's a fight to do right. It's a fight to survive. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Here's old Paul. Pick it up, verse 11. 1 Timothy 6, 11. O thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, goodness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. When he got through, he said, I fought a good fight. Hey, brother, it's going to be a fight, fight, fight. Every day it's going to be a fight. And the only way you're going to survive this thing is with the skin of your teeth. Amen. And you'll think, well, thank God I made it through. And I want to say there's very little room for error. There's very little reason for treason. And let me say there's very little right in the fight. Amen. There's very little right in the fight. You know what I found out, Brother Anthony, Brother Chris, Brother Alonzo, Brother Don, Brother Ben? You know what I found out? Life's not fair. Amen. Why couldn't I be good looking like Tom Brady and throw a football like that and make $45 million? Why couldn't I be making $8 million like Nick Saban and people want my autograph, Brother Alonzo? Life, it's not fair. I'm going to go home and cry about it. You know what? There's very little right in this fight. My daughter used to say to me when she had a little something that happened at school or work, or kind of, she'd say, Dad, that's not fair. I'd tell her, I say, kiddo, you might as well take that word fair and throw it away, because life is not fair. There's very little right in this fight. And when we get through, you know what's going to happen? We'll get burned with the skin of our teeth when we get through it. It's not fair. Most of the fights you get into in life, you know what? They don't come from the right. They come from the left. There's very little rights in this fight. Because you know when they come from the right, Brother Don, we can walk. See? That right, you see that right coming, we can duck. We can get over here, Brother Ben. You can jive a little bit. Block that thing, counterpunch. We're doing that all of a sudden. Bam! Here comes that left clobber knocker, is what I call them. They'll clobber you. And they'll knock you down. And they'll come from nowhere. All of a sudden life has very little rights in the fight. Job sure didn't get any help, did he? I mean, he lost his kids, his cow. He lost everything. Everything. And his wife, she says, hey, in Job 2:9, she said, dost thou still retain thine integrity? What she's saying, won't you just go backslide with God? Why are you staying right with God, you dummy? She said, dost thou retain thine integrity? Won't you just curse God and then you can die? That was a big help, wasn't it? He said over there, the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. Turn to Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3. Very little right in this fight. See, you can prepare. You can prepare for those right hooks. And you can block them. And those right jabs, you can handle them. And boy, you can counterpunch. And you can duck and jab a little bit. Get around. But boy, when that left clobber knocker come cold cocks you out of nowhere, boo! I'm going to tell you, brother, it'll knock you on the mat. Oh, Houdini, he was the greatest escape artist that ever lived. I've read a lot about him. I used to admire that guy. He had a lot of neat things about him. You don't know, I could tell you a lot about him, but I've read a lot of books about him through the years. He escaped sometimes. Miss Samantha, they would build a cement thing around him. Build it, cement. He'd walk out of that thing. They'd drop him down. One time they put him in Scotland Yard. They said nobody in the world could ever escape that. They put him in there, stripped him, had nothing to wear, nothing on him. Stripped him in there. And when they got out to the office, he was calling them on the phone outside, wanting to bring his clothes. He beat them out. That's how good he was. He escaped anything. He is a tough cat. He let people come up there and punch him in the stomach. He said, I can take a punch. He'd say, he'd stand up there and get that thing flexed, Brother Don, and had these big guys come up there and pow! He could take it. One night, October the 31st, Halloween. 1921, I think it was. He's there at the show. He's sitting in the back. Brother Don, he's sitting there. And this little wimpy college student comes up to him and says, "I heard you can take a punch in the stomach." He said, "Yeah, I can take a punch. I can take a punch from anywhere." And that guy went, pow, hit him in the stomach. But he wasn't ready, see. He wasn't prepared. He wasn't expecting it. Hit him in the stomach, ruptured his appendicitis, his appendix. Killed him a couple hours later. Now, if he had been ready for that, he could have flexed his stomach and got ready or blocked it or something like that. You know what? That's the way life is. I want to tell you, there's very little rights in the fight. A lot of them going to come is that left clobber knocker out of nowhere. Knock you on the ground, brother. Knock you out, man. Look at Job chapter 3. Job knew about that. Job knew about that. Job chapter 3. I break things when I preach. My wife can tell you, I used to go down Jimmy Hale Mission. They had a big cross on the pulpit. When I'd get preaching and get excited, I'd knock it off. Sometimes those guys would get laughing as soon as they see me come, and they'd go over and take the cross off and move the table and everything out of the way. It's all right. Keep them awake, right? Job chapter 3, verse 3, here's old Job. Very little right in the fight. Look at verse 25, Job chapter 3, 25. "The thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. That which I was afraid of has come on me." Verse 3, Job 3, 3, look what he said. "Let the day perish when I was born, in the night which I was said, there was a one." He said, "I wish I had never been born. I wish that day would have never come." You know why? There's very little right in the fight. He lost his cattle, lost his kids, lost everything. His wife didn't want anything to do with him. She told him to go in there and curse God and die. His friends went out there. You read over in Job 19 where his wife was strange to him. The kids despised him. The servants didn't like him. There's nothing left. All he had was the skin of his teeth. And there's very little right, brethren, in this fight. A lot of times, I tell you where it's coming from. It's coming from the left hook. It'll come from those closest to you sometime. It'll come out of nowhere. Pam! Lay you on the mat, brethren. Dr. Ruckman's about the toughest cat I've ever known in my life. He's the guy we went to set under Bible school. That guy read his Bible from cover to cover, get this, over 800 times. I'm talking about cover to cover. I'm not skipping it. 800 times. He had written 350 books on the Bible. Taught the Pensacola Bible Institute. I never heard anything like it. My wife would tell me, we'd sit in class, my head would be spinning the Bible this guy knew. He was a military instructor in the service. He taught men how to kill each other with hand-to-hand combat. He was the roughest cat I've ever heard. He had three guns pulled on him. Loaded guns. And he said, "Shoot me, Park, I dare you to." The way he was. He is a tough cat, man. He'd been in court four times, people suing him. Years ago, his wife left. He had two wives who left him. Sherry left him. My wife and her, me and my wife knew her about Bible school. And she left him about, I guess, 20 years ago, you think, or something like that. She left him. And Brother Dale Waller called me up. Dale was down there in school. Dale, y'all met Dale. He's one of my best friends. He goes to church down there. And he called me up that day, and he said, "Brother," he said, "you should have seen Dr. Ruckman Sunday night." She said, he said, he got up there and said, "My wife's left me." He said, "This is the last message I'll ever preach." Well, he said, he wept like a baby. He said, "I'm through the ministry. I'll never preach another message. I'm done. This is over. Our ministry's gone. I'm gone. I'm resigning." He told me, he said, "Man, I never dreamed Dr. Ruckman would be that way." He said, "I always thought he was invincible." I said, "Yeah, brother, he can handle those right punches. But when that left clobber knocker comes, I'm going to tell you, it'll take you down. It'll take them all down." Dr. Ruckman used to say, he had a saying which I've used many times. I heard him in class, and I've used it in my life 500 times probably. He said this one time in preaching. He said, "All right, punk, so what? The devil knocked you in the nose and knocked you down. Ask God to wipe the nose off your blood off your nose and get back in there and fight. That's good. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes you can't get up and wipe the nose off your face. Sometimes, bless God, you just lay down on that floor and hope to God that you can get back up one day. Because sometimes there's very little right in this fight, and that left clobber knocker is going to come, brother, and knock you on the mat just like Job. When you get through, you say, 'I've escaped with the skin of my teeth. I got a good friend of mine, David Riley. David, I had two brothers, Phil and David. Phil and David Riley. Good friends of mine. I've known them for a long time. Brother Phil came here one time when I did the Halloween slide presentation. Him and his wife, he was in Anniston at the time. He's a postman. He is there. Brother Cooper was the pastor. I think it was the first time I ever done the Halloween thing here. Brother Phil came and his wife. Him, Brother Phil and David, they went to Pensacola Bible Institute. Their dad went to school down there. And I heard Phil give his testimony. When Phil graduated from high school, he wanted to go be in the military. And his dad told him, nope, you're going to PBI first. And both of them, as soon as they got out of high school, he made them go PBI and learn the Bible. He said, you're going to learn Bible before you do anything else in your life, because that'll get you through this thing. And those boys knew their Bible. Their dad pastored. Both of them pastored. David Riley pastored for, he's been pastoring for over 30 years. David, his brother, a smart guy. He's got a website. It's called sounddoctrine.com, where he deals with doctrine. He's written some books. Amazing guy. Sharp man. Serving God like crazy, man. A few years ago, he was down in Pensacola. He pastored a church in North Dakota at the time. I know him well. I've talked to him a lot. He was down there for the Bad Attitude Baptist blowout, the revival they had. And they'd been down there, Brother Anthony. He was pumped up, excited, couldn't wait to get back, Miss Samantha. Get back to his church preaching. And they're traveling at night, late at night. And they're going along, traveling back to North Dakota. And his wife falls asleep at the wheel. Wrecks the van. Kills her immediately. You know what that is? That's a left clobber knocker, brethren. On his website, tells a little bit about him. Here's what it said. I pastored for 28 years. I started King James Bible Church in Chicago, Illinois in 1975 and stayed there for 13 years. I helped start with associate pastor, First Baptist in Washington. He said, I pastored Open Door Baptist Church for over 9 years. And right here it's got a pause. It said, I was two plus years out of the ministry due to my wife's untimely death. 2 years out. You say, what happened? Clobber knocker. See, there are very little rights in this world. Sometimes those rights in this fight, man, you'll get hit with that left clobber knocker, brother, and I'm going to tell you, you don't pop up and say, let's go at it. You just lay there and hope to God one day you can get back up. Took him 2 years to get back in the ministry. You say, why? He got by the skin of his teeth, brethren. He's remarried now, doing good, pastoring another church, pastoring two churches, in fact, right now. But I'm telling you, sometime, brethren, that old left hook's coming, old Tommy Tillman, that old guy, I'll say, hey, he keeps going. Two daughters died unexpectedly. Both of them were secretaries in his ministry. Then his grandson at 33 years old. A year later, Jordan, that travels, takes him all around over the place. He died unexpectedly. Now he's got cancer, all that cancer. They're telling him he can't even go back over there. I don't see how he keeps going, Brother Anthony. He gets on by the skin of his teeth. I'll tell you how he gets by. Sometimes that old left clobber knocker, there's very little rights in the fight. Those rights you can handle, boy. You can block those. You can counter those. You can deal with those, boy. That left clobber knocker, that sucker punch that's coming out of nowhere. Bam! You on the ground, brethren. I was at the homeless there the other night. This Tuesday. I love going to that place. I tell you, God's been so good to me. It's unbelievable. God's given me two amazing ministries. I go down to that park. I tell you, I pray with people all the time at Cosby Lake. They call me the preacher. I went down there Saturday. There's a bunch of them getting around. They said, preacher, we've been looking for you. We've been wondering where you was at. We hadn't seen you. They watch that after me. I said, I've been here. I've been here every day. I've just been coming later. Sometimes I'll see them. They'll say, preacher, come over here and pray for us. Pray with us about something. Same way with that homeless. I walk out, five people ask me to pray for them. Five of them. As soon as I got there Tuesday night, I had a nice looking black man come in there, 67 years old. As soon as he saw me walking in there, he come over there and grabbed me. He said, preacher, he said, Pastor, I'm hurting. He said, Pastor, come pray for me. Pastor, come pray. He's crying. And I said, come over here, buddy. Let's sit on the bench. Let's talk about it. Tell me what's going on. I said, what's your name? He said, my name's Marvin, Pastor, my Marvin. I said, Marvin, what's going on, man? What you hurting for? He said, it's my wife, Pastor, my wife, Pastor. He said, she went home last Thursday. She died. God took her home. He said, Pastor, I'm hurting. Pastor, I don't know what I can do, Pastor. I don't know if I can survive without her, Pastor. I can't get up, Pastor. You saw him.
You know what that was, brother? That was a left clobber knocker. You see, there's very little rights in this thing called life. And old Job, just like he said, I'm escaped with the skin of my teeth. You know where that little Marvin is, that black man? You know where he's at? He's escaped with the skin of his teeth right now. We got up there and sung that song, What a Day That'll Be. I told Marvin, I prayed with him. I told him, I said, Marvin, it won't be long. You'll be with her. She said, they're both saved, love the Lord. We had raised three kids. I said, it won't be long, Marvin. This thing goes like that. This life's short. You'll be with her. Just hang in there, mother. And we sung that song, Miss Liz, me and my wife and Brother Odell. What a day that'll be. When my Jesus I'll see. And boy, old Kathy, she was going crazy. I thought she was about to have a rapture out over there. One of us said, there'll be no sorrow there, no more parting over there. And I looked over at Marvin. He goes, see, there's very little rights in this fight, brethren. Not only that, there's very little room for error. There's very little reason for the treason. There's very little rights in the fight. I want to give you one thing real quick. Real quick. And there's very little rhyme. Very little rhyme for the time we got down here. Say, what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean, when you get through this life, there's going to be very few people miss you. They're not going to. I got news for you. When you go home, you pass away, they're not going to have the flag flying half-mast like they did for John McCain. It won't happen. They won't happen. You know what will happen? The world will keep going on. It won't stop. It won't say, well, don't tell you what, because he's gone. Everybody, let's just take the day off. You know what will happen? Keep going. Very little rhyme for the time down here we go through. Don't you going to make very little difference to this world. This world, brother, when you get through with it, you'll just pass by, another day go by. Okay, done deal. People close to miss you, they'll keep going too. James chapter 4 says, what do you know what's on the morrow? Well, what is your life? It is even a vapor. It appears a little while, vanish away. You know what it reminds me of? When you walk outside on a cold day, that's what that verse reminds me. And you just breathe, and that vapor comes out and it disappears. That's like your life, what that's saying. That's how quick it is. And it'll be gone like that. And there's very little rhyme for the time. 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul said, for our light affliction which worketh but for a moment. It's just a moment down here. There's not a lot of rhyme for this time. You know what your life's going to be? You know what your life will be when you get through with this thing? It's going to be that hyphen. What it'll be? That'll be the significance of your life down here. One day the Lord tarries. And I don't want a tombstone. I want a piece of wood or a rock. I don't want a much a casket. If you can get a cardboard box, throw me in that thing. Seriously. But they'll have something like that. And my life's going to be, to the world, going to be that right there. It's going to be a hyphen. And there's very little rhyme for the time that you and I go through. And every one of us, I don't care who you are, whatever you go through, I don't care how far you make, how much money you make, I don't care. You'll get by if you get by with the skin of your teeth. That's the only way you'll make it. You think even the ones that we think are great, even the ones that we think are great, Fanny Crosby, what an amazing lady. She got saved when she was 45. After she's 45, Miss Liz, she wrote 9,000 hymns. She went home to be with the Lord and she was 94. What an incredible lady. What an accolade. You know, she used 200 different pen names. She didn't want people to know she wrote them. She wanted God to get the glory. She'd want her name on them. That's how she was. Very little rhyme for the time, see. She wasn't interested. You know what's on her tomb? You know what's wrote on her tomb? She hath done what she could. That's it. That's it. No accolade. You know what she got through? She got through with the skin of her teeth. Just like me and you will get through. Just like Job said, I've escaped with the skin of my teeth. I don't care how great you may think it is, how wonderful the things it is. I want to tell you, when you get through this life, all you'll get through is by the skin of your teeth. There's very little rhyme for the time. They're not going to have a pomp and parade. Things not going to go on. When you get through, this world won't stop. There'll be very little rhyme for the time. And when you get through this life, if you're saved and get through it, you'll make it by the skin of your teeth, just like Job. There's been
A lot of great men through history. I mean, you think of the man of yesteryear, Dwight L. Moody, some of them I tell you about, R.A. Torrey, Sam Jones, J. Frank Norris. A lot of those men you never heard of, you wouldn't have come to this church probably. But these were great men. They led millions of people to God. I mean, they went through the sands of time and buried them, and there's very little rhyme right now for their time down here. And when you get through this thing, I'm going to tell you how you'll get through. You'll escape. You'll escape with the skin of your teeth. Just like Job, one of the great preachers, we've had several of them lately. Brother Ruckman was one of them. He is one of them. All that he did for God, I mean, 350 books. There's churches all over this area right here that man had an influence. Missionary Tommy Tillman had an influence because of Dr. Ruckman. Earl Ankrum because of Dr. Ruckman. That man had so much influence in his life. And when he died, when he got one of the last letters he wrote, this guy asked him to write some things. And one of the things he asked some questions. One of them, he said, what's the most important thing he's learned in the years walking with the Lord? Here's what he said. The most important thing I've learned is that I am unable to guide and conduct my life intellectually. Only God can. I do not have the wisdom to know what is good and bad for me, but only He does. You know what he's saying? I'll get by this thing with the skin of my teeth. Ask about his relationship with the Lord. He said this, I consider myself to be a servant of God, period. And that is it, that is all. On my desk is a wooden plaque sent to me by some Christians in the Philistines. It sits on my desk and says, Peter S. Ruckman, God's servant. And that is where I stand with the Lord all the way, as to whether I'm a good servant or a bad servant or a mediocre servant. Holy Hill, let me know how I've done. You know what he said? I just made it by the skin of my teeth, brethren. I'm just a God servant. I've done the best I could. When I hit this thing, all I've done, God will tell me, you've done a good job or not. He said, I don't know. He said, I'm just going to make this thing by the skin of my teeth. Billy Graham went home to be with the Lord here last year. As far as I'm concerned, that was a great preacher. That was a great man for the Lord. He had some doctrinal issues and all. They lived to be 99 years old. That guy was amazing to me. You know, he was known as the president's pastor. But he never got in politics. I love that about him. He prayed with Barack Obama just as much as he prayed with Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton. He didn't care what they were. That's the way it ought to be, brethren. He wasn't involved in politics. He had one thing in mind, and that was the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was focused on it. You know, like when he died, that guy preached in person, people sitting down to him. He preached to over 250 million people sitting. He preached over 2 billion on television. That's a pretty good resume, brother. That's a pretty good resume. Franklin Graham asked him before he died, he said, Dad, what do you want on your tombstone? I might have said, well, put on there he preached to 215 million folks. Put on there, well, greatest preacher of this generation. Preached to 2 billion folks, you know. You know he said that, put on there? He said, put preacher. Preacher. You know what's on his tombstone? Got his name and the date, and underneath it says, a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ in John 14:6. You know what Billy Graham said? He said, I'm nothing. I just got through this thing with the skin of my teeth. Very little rhyme for the time. You know what they buried him in? They buried that guy in a plywood, not even a solid wood. I mean cheap plywood. I'm going to fall here and sue Brother Anthony here in a minute. So he knocked me down. They buried that guy in a plywood box, Brother Alonzo. Not even a solid plywood pine, not even plywood walnut, Brother Don, or mahogany. Plywood pine box. You know where he got that thing from, Miss Rachel? Some prisoners at the Louisiana State Prison built that casket for him. You know what the pad in it was? It was a cheap mattress pad from Walmart to put down in it. They had a hand-carved cross, Miss Jane, that they carved in there, and they just took nails and nailed it on the top. Brother Ben, that guy could have had any casket in the world. You know what the old preacher's saying? I just made it with the skin of my teeth, brother.
little rhyme for the time, see. You say, all that stuff he did. Yeah, but all that stuff, when he got through, that old preacher knew. He said, I just barely made him by the skin of my teeth. Baby, I had his last will and testament. I loved it. It's 16 pages. I could read it all. It's amazing. Says this in his last will and testament. He said, I ask my children and grandchildren to maintain and defend at all hazards, at any cost, at all hazards, at any cost, a personal sacrifice. Whatever it costs you, he said. The blessed doctrine of the complete atonement through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, offered it and through that alone. He said this in there. He said, I had very little in my early life to call my own. In the first years of our marriage, we had very little to live on. But from the beginning of our marriage, we determined that we would tithe. We have tried to use our material blessings for the glory of God. We've always tried to keep a somewhat detached attitude from them. We never wanted our roots to be very deep in this world. He says this. This is what this man said. This is a man that preached to all these people, all the people. He said, whether or not I handle these things properly or not, he said, I'm just going to have to wait to the judgment seat of Christ and see how things work out. You know what he's saying? I just got by with the skin of my teeth on this deal. He didn't pop and pray. There was very little rhyme for the time when you get through this thing, folks. Best thing to do is serve God and let it fall, brethren. You know what his last words in his will, his last will and testament, you know what the last words were? Here's the last words in that thing. It's 16 pages long. Here's his last words. I urge all who shall read this document to read and study the Scriptures daily and to trust only in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. When that old boy, Brother Anthony, when he got through and the last thing he got through, you know what that old boy's doing? He's still trying to get them in. You know what that is? A little rhyme for the time. He knew what this thing was about. He didn't say, hey, when you think about me, think about all I've done. He said, no. He said, you better get hold of God. Brother Marvin Glass said, oh man, I talked to him this week, 80-something years old, hardly talked, dementia. Hey boy, okay, I'm looking for one more soul, but I'm just trying to God to give me one more soul. That's what he's saying. Very little rhyme for the time. When this thing gets through, you know a lot of those men found out? They found out there's very little room for error in this life. One decision, one word. Dr. Ruttman, Brother Billy Graham, Brother Earl Ankrum, all these men we see, Tommy Tillman, you know what? One decision, one bad move in their life, they could be down there at the homeless or at the prison. Very little room for error, very little reason for treason, very little reason to betray God, sell Him out. I want to say there's very little rights in this fight. The things that will hurt you, the things that will come from the left, they'll knock you down. And there's very little rhyme for this time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Ask my wife just to come play this morning for a few minutes, give you a few minutes. If God spoke to you, maybe you need to come pray, get hold of God a little bit. Maybe pray where you're at. Just give you a few minutes to digest this message. Job said, I've escaped with the skin of my teeth. That's how we all make it. That's how we all make it.